My guest is Ed Polish with the Ashland's Bad Film Society, and every year produces Sleazy Listening for April Fool's Day, some cuts that are, I guess you could call them alternative in their own very interesting way. But also you have the Codependent Film Festival as well. Before we go to the talk a little bit about the Sleazy Listening, tell me a little bit about the film festival.
Well, some people think the Ashland Independent Film Festival is a little pretentious and boring. I don't really think that. I think they do a great job. But I like to offer an alternative the way the one in there's rain dance and slam dance instead of the main one. So I'm showing what I call the Codependent Film Festival, and it's part of what I do every month, which is the Bad Film Society, which meets in the Elks Dungeon in Ashland once a month, and we have a community potluck and show bad films. And I've got a pretty good following of, misfits and strange, interesting people that come, and it's open to the public. So go on the website to badfilmsociety.org to find out about it. But for this coming, it'll be Sunday, April 6th. At 6 p.m., my wife happened to be listening to one of the older editions of This American Life, and there was a piece about a filmmaker named Trent Harris. And in Salt Lake City in the 70s, he happened to be walking outside with a new video camera, and he saw this weird guy out there, and they started talking. And the guy was a kind of a goofy impressionist from a small town called Beaver, Utah, and he went into this riff doing like Sylvester Stallone and John Wayne. And then he was like very starstruck young guy. And he invited the cameraman to come to Beaver, Utah, and he was going to put on a talent show for him. Yeah. So he couldn't resist that. So he goes there, and there's a, he has a meet at mortician's, because he's getting made up, and that's the only place he could get made up. And then sure enough, he gets in full drag, and he's an obsessive Olivia Newton-John person, and he gets on stage and does this whole Olivia Newton-John act, and then he films it. And later on in the day, the guy, his name is Groovy Gary, the Olivia Newton-John guy, calls Trent Harris and says, "I really don't think you should show this." And Trent Harris says, "No, I want to show it." And then later Trent finds out that Groovy Gary had an supposed accident with a gun. So years later, Trent Harris goes to Los Angeles, and he's haunted by the story, so he decides to remake it as a film, a short film, and this is 1982, and he gets all these young actors to audition for it. Among them is Nicolas Cage, Eric Stoltz, Anthony Edwards, and Sean Penn, and they were all unknown young actors at the time. Sean Penn got the role and plays Groovy Gary doing Olivia Newton-John.
Oh.
So that's the name of the film I'm showing is The Beaver Trilogy, and that's the second part of the trilogy. And then a few years later, he gets Crispin Glover of Willard fame and all kinds of weird movies to redo the role again. So it's this very strange mix of like Broken Dreams and Wannabes and revisiting it was a sensation at Sundance, and it was in at a New York Film Festival, and Sean Penn blocked it ever being released. But I tracked down Trent Harris and asked him. He was on his way to Kathmandu when I tracked him down, and I told him about the Bad Film Festival and the Ashland Codependent Film Festival. And he agreed. He said he would be honored to have me show it. So he sent me a copy of the DVD. And that's what's happening.
That, if you love bad film, that sounds like a terrific entry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a rare opportunity, and it's something that can only be seen at the Bad Film Fest, Bad Film Society, and that's April 6th.
April 6th. Well, let's switch gears. Tell me a little bit about Sleazy Listening and what you have for us this year.
Right, well, the Bad Film Festival, Sleazy Listening, it's kind of bad art, entertainment, music. It's kind of a lifestyle that I enjoy. And I'm a collector, and I've been collecting bad movies and bad music for years, and it's got to be enjoyably bad. And so I show this year I'm playing stuff by like famous people that did weird stuff, like Bob Dylan and Lou Reed and Allen Ginsberg did very, very strange songs in their career, and I've tracked those down. Morton Downey Jr., the shock TV show guy, did an anti-drug song. Shel Silverstein, a comedian, poet, he wrote A Boy Named Sue for Johnny Cash. Mm. He did some promo stuff that I found, and on. And
you do have a couple of clips here for us, don't you? Is there one you'd like to start with in particular?
Oh, yeah. Play number 14. It's Bob Dylan, and it's a Bob Dylan doing a song you'd never expect him to do.
This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on my drum with a knick-knack paddywhack with the dog a bone.
Yeah, it's amazing that Bob Dylan would do that song, and he's not doing it as a joke.
You know, whenever I think of bad music, I tend to think of somebody who used to star in Star Trek. Or, you know, it doesn't matter which actor.
Leonard Nimoy,
singing some song, doing some vanity album or something. But I don't usually think of, you know, respected musicians doing really odd cuts of songs like Bob Dylan. There.
Right. And Lou Reed, before he started the Velvet Underground, had he was a hack songwriter for a grade B company called Pickwick. And he did teen kind of like there was the Swim and the Bird, Do the Bird. He did a song called Do the Ostrich. So you'll have to tune in to hear that, and
I wouldn't guess Lou Reed on Do the Ostrich, no.
And I found there was a voice comedian back in the day named Del Close, and he did an album on how to be hip, and now with all this talk of hipsters now, it's amazing that this came out back then, but it's kind of the birth of that style of talking and writing, and that's number one. And Charlotte's queuing it up now.
You know, like, if you bought this record to learn how to speak hip from a record man, that is the squarest thing I ever heard of. I mean, wow. But look, so like you bought it, you must need it. So that was a smart move, you know what I mean, or something?
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of hip.
Just relax, baby. Me and this other cat, we're going to straighten you out.
This is a new departure in language instruction. For English-speaking people who want to talk to and be understood by jazz musicians, hipsters, beatniks, juvenile delinquents, and the criminal fringe.
What time is it? I gotta make a phone call.
The twilight world of the American hipster is an important American subculture with a language all its own. To enable you to speak this language of hip exactly like the hipsters themselves, we've provided an actual hipster to teach you the correct pronunciation and delivery of his language.
Hooray.
Ladies and gentlemen, your instructor, Mr. Geets Romo.
Look, is it going to be a long session, man? Let's head out for some pizza or something, yeah?
Mr. Romo, would you speak into the microphone, please?
I just want to say this is a wonderful thing, what you're doing, you know? So the public can pick up on what's happening, like, you know? Straighten everybody out and let them know where this whole other scene is, where it's at. You know, so everybody will stop coming on all the time. And then we'll get, you know, world peace.
Good stuff. So, you know, if you're a young hipster or hipster wannabe, you really need a guide to get you there, don't you?
Right. Well, now hipsters, are basically people that are, you know, they're all told that they're special when they're young. And
this is the way to find out.
Right.
Another clip. What do you have for it?
Well, even like in the late 60s, Frank Sinatra tried to be hip. And he teamed up with his daughter, Nancy, and they did a song called Life is a Trippy Thing with every phrase is a drug reference. And I don't think Frank got it at the time, but that's number three.
Getting stoned on sunshine, getting high on air.
Getting to it naturally, really getting there.
getting such a high on loving what I do.
I'm so full of happiness, hooked on something new. Life is such a trippy thing.
Life is such a trippy thing. It's unbelievable.
That is funny. Yeah, I wonder how many of the references he did get. I mean, these boots are made for walking. There's Nancy for you, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So
interesting.
So part of the fun for me as a collector mentality, just trying to find this stuff, and before, like, I used to collect objects, but now it's just fun collecting music and images, and it's great. I mean, I'm also going to be playing. There was also a subgenre of musicals that came out called industrial musicals. They were never made for public consumption. Companies like RCA, Ford, GM would have conventions for their salespeople, and they would play. They would hire real Broadway people, and they'd come in and they'd sing songs and do production numbers just for the event. And then they would put out a record and just send them to the salespeople. So those are the rarest of the rare. And there is a coffee table book that came out this year called Everything's Coming Up Profits about that. And I will be playing a few numbers from that. And like A.B. Dick was a copy company, and they had a song called The Sound of Selling, which is amazing. And when 7-Eleven put out the Slurpee in 1964, they tried to promote it the same way Lou Reed did the ostrich and the swim. And they had a song called Do the Slurp, which they tried to turn into a hit record. It didn't go anywhere, of course, but it was, you know, I'll be playing it.
How do you find most of your stuff? I mean, we've got the internet today that I imagine you could track.
Oh, yeah.
Down. But
yeah.
Before the internet, how did you really go about this?
Well, just I would go to flea markets, garage sales, and so on, and find stuff. Of course, the internet, we're living. I think one of the Rolling Stones talked about how they could find any one of their performances, any live show, anywhere on the internet now. And we're living in what he would call a post-rarity age. You just have to go out and look, but it's all there somewhere.
Where did you where did you develop your love of this sort of thing, for both songs and for offbeat films and that kind of thing?
I would say, I don't know, the bigger question is why other people don't have the same taste. I mean, the blandness and mediocrity of most pop culture drives me there. And I do enjoy pop, you know, bigger pop culture. I mean, but it's, you know, who wants to listen to Britney Spears and Justin Bieber?
Well, I have to admit, a good 50s sci-fi film or a bad 50s sci-fi film, I enjoy them both, you know. And I think there is a market out there for people who enjoy both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit about prepping this. This is going to be on April 1st, again, at 8 p.m. on our Rhythm and News service. And tell us a little bit about how the show runs.
Well, I have to thank Eric Thiel a lot. He helped me put it together. I'm not a typical radio personality. I'm not an engineer, and he helped me put it together. It'll be a two-hour show, and I'm so glad I only do it once a year, because the thought of having to put together a show like this every week would be insane.
Would be a little intimidating. In the time that we have left, do you have anything in particular that any surprises you want people to know about for the evening?
Oh yeah, well there's lots of other. It'll be 2 hours, so there's lots of oddball things. Like Chris Well was a TV psychic, and he was on Ed Wood shows, Ed Wood movies. And I'm going to be playing his only song called "Someone Walked on My Grave,"
great title.
Yeah, and Mae West sang a song about him, and I'll also be playing a few songs by Mel Blanc, who is the voice artist for all the Warner Brothers cartoons. But he had a career doing novelty records in the 40s. And, yeah, so on. I've got Elvis for President song, some political stuff, some innuendo kind of songs that are just odd and strange, like a song about a kid going out in the rain, and the song is called He Forgot His Rubbers. So you could imagine the innuendo in that, but it's all good, clean fun.
As you go through and you look at some of these things, back in the day, back before recording was so easy at home with various devices, were a lot of these vanity records just because people had connections in the industry, they were famous or they knew people?
Not really. There was something called song poems, where in the back of magazines, they would say, send us your poem and we'll turn it into a song. And you can be a hit, have a hit record. But basically, it was just a way to get people to pay to have a song made. And all those, there's thousands of those. And I'll be playing a couple of those. And they were only made, they would press a copy for the person. And I guess they'd keep a copy on file. And there's fanatic collectors that have compiled and saved those. And now with the internet, they're slowly coming out again. And
so are these rare? Have a lot of these been lost, or a lot of them still around on file somewhere?
I think initially they were rare, but now we're in a post-rarity age where anybody that has one is posting it on the internet somewhere, if maybe. And there's been song compilations put out on CD. And so I can find them and play them. Like one is called... I'm in love with a Playboy bunny.
Well, we've been talking today with Ed Polish, head of Ashland's Bad Film Society. I want to thank you today for being on
Jefferson
Exchange.
Oh, yeah, this has been fun.
A lot of fun. Up next in our 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk with the author of Warrior Pose, a war correspondent's memoir. That's coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.